Okay, everybody, this is episode 6 of Festool Shop Talk, and we invited Jason Hibbs from Bourbon Moth. This is one of the funniest ones we've done because everybody knows Jason, and I'm going to tell you what, please watch. He's got so much great advice for you. So thank you for watching. This is Jason Hibbs from Bourbon Moth. He also is on, let me get this right, Jason, Shop Sounds Podcast.
Yeah, buddy.
And you're with Nick Keys and Keith Johnson.
That's right. I think it's Nick Key, no S.
Oh, Nick Key.
I could be wrong. I've never asked what his last name is, but I'm pretty sure it's just Key.
Key. But he has Keys Woodworking, right?
I don't know. I think it might be Key Woodworking.
Oh, cool.
It doesn't really matter. We can mess it up.
I know Keith Johnson. I've met him. I've never met Nick.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, welcome everybody. And Jason, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
I was really looking forward to this. When's the first time I met you was the last time I saw you person to person. That was down in Austin, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's most people's story. The first time they met me was the last time they ever saw me.
That was at the Rubio Monocoat build.
Yeah. The fest, man, that seems like forever ago, doesn't it?
It was. And you know what? I went back and did a little bit of research to get ready for this. And I went on Instagram, your account. Mm-hmm. I was kind of stalking you.
Okay.
And dadgod it, you have made me laugh. I was looking at some of these, and it was way back when I first started following you. I was new to Instagram, and this is going to bring you back, way back. It was when you were knocking down the wall to expand your shop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, that was... What, 4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. And then I'll just call it out. The first product review you did was the lightsaber. It's kind of like, I'm going to just analyze it really quick. It's kind of like your videos. You have to watch them because everybody is waiting for what you are going to do next. And it's just, dadgod, you've made so many people laugh. Every time I mention when I'm on the road, hey, do you follow Bourbon Moth? Everybody smiles. But that's a really good thing. So what I'm going to do is enough about that. I want to get going with this somewhat of an interview because I want to know, we want to know, the audience wants to know about you, a little bit about you. So I know you have a video on YouTube on this, but how did you get started?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of cliche. It's the same way I feel most people get started in custom furniture is just starting to build stuff for my family, my house, and really just playing around with it. And then, you know, you build a few things for your house, and despite what people say, I do have some friends. And so they come over the house and take a look at things and be like, oh, I didn't know you could do woodwork, and start asking for stuff. So I kind of started doing it on the side just for friends and family, and then more people wanted stuff, and eventually got to the point where I realized, man, I could actually have a business here, and I love doing it. I mean, I was having a blast. Yeah. So that I could do that full time was awesome. So I just kind of rolled into it. But I will say, when I started, and even now, I feel like I knew nothing about woodworking. I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
So it's been a baptism by fire all the way along.
So you're, let me just say, did you have any former woodworking background at all?
No. So the way I got like my wood shop set up is my wife and I actually have another business. It's a textile printing company. And we started that right out of college, and we both did that full time. And I was doing that full time when I started playing around with woodworking. And we had a pretty good year with that business 1 year, and we needed some tax write-offs. And for textile printing, there's just not a lot of big expenses you can spend money on in that field. I mean, once you have your printing set up, you pretty much have everything you need. So I was looking for something we could buy as a tax write-off. And we had this little one-car garage, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, we could play around with woodworking and do some stuff like that for the textile business. So I basically got online and bought everything I thought I might need, knowing nothing about woodworking. So I bought a table saw and a Ryobi chop saw and a drill press and a little band saw, and I kind of set up a wood shop. And the first time I ever used a table saw was when I got that table saw set up for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was baptism by fire, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was baptism by kickback, my first time using that table saw. I literally didn't know what the slidey thing on the top of the table saw was for. That fence, yeah. You know, that keeps the wood safe. And so I looked at that and I was like, oh, this is probably some specialty thing. That's like I'm not there yet. So I slid that out of the way and I just freehanded my first cut through the table saw. And it was a piece of 1/4-inch plywood. And I remember thinking like, okay, the plywood's 1/4-inch, so the blade should be set right at 1/4-inch. And so I just popped up on top of the blade and it spun around. And long story short, my son's adopted. So.
Do you hear it, any of this? Oh my God, you're making me laugh. Boy, that's
no. It almost got me in my manhood pretty good. So yeah. That was an eye-opening experience. And so I kind of pressed pause. I got online, and the next thing I did was look up a bunch of videos on horrible table saw accidents.
Sure.
And that really scared me straight. And then it was all safety from that point on.
YouTube scared straight woodworking 101.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Too cool. So you've been doing this how long now? 5, 6 years, 7 years?
The way I always judge it by is I started basically right when my son was born, and he's 6 and a half this month. So 6 and a half years. Yeah.
Wow. Ivor, right?
Ivor. Yeah. That's the one.
Is he in the shop with you a lot?
Man, he's in the shop with me all the time. At first, when I started doing like YouTube and filming, I was trying to like, you know, hey, you stand over there, I got to film this shot. And then at some point I was like, you know, forget it. If he's in the video, he's in the video. So he winds up in a lot of videos just because he's out here wandering around. So
he's adorable, man. He's so cute.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. So are you still doing custom builds or are you?
No, I'm not. Stopped doing custom about last August, September, and switched just to full-time content.
Okay, so I got one for you.
All right.
What about that shuffleboard you built? Where's that going to live?
Well, that's a great question.
I know. I do not dare show that to my wife because she's always wanted a shuffleboard down in the basement.
Build them, man. They're fun. They're not too bad. I mean, we built it in 4 days, so.
Yeah, no, I'm actually thinking about doing it. God, you inspire me, man.
Just, you no, really to answer your previous question, my family's got a house down on the McKenzie River, which is about 1.5 hours from us. And it was kind of like the family home. It burnt down last year. We had a bunch of really bad forest fires here. Oh, wow. And so we're in the process of rebuilding that. But my mom's the one that owns the house. And so the shuffleboard table is kind of a gift to her, like her first piece of furniture for the house. So eventually when it's rebuilt, it'll go down there. But for now, I honestly don't know where I'm going to put it.
Now, so as I'm going through your Instagram and also your YouTube channel yesterday, you built a tree surround settee for Neil Patrick Harris, right? How did that come about? How did that come about?
Oh, you know, we're good buddies, me and Neil. No, it's the funniest thing. When I started doing YouTube and posting more videos, he reached out to me on Instagram through a DM. And he's just interested in woodworking and he's getting into it as kind of a hobby. And so he started asking a bunch of questions and we just have been DMing back and forth for probably over a year at this point. And somewhere along the way, he asked about having a bench built. And originally he wanted me to do it. And I was like, man, I just don't know if I can. He's on the other side of the country and shipping. And right. You got to measure the tree and everything. But my buddy Keith Johnson, who's on the Shop Sounds podcast with me, he lives out in Jersey, not too far from where Neil is. So we decided just to make it a collaboration. And I flew out to his shop and we built it in 10 days and delivered it to him.
That's fantastic. That was some great content, but a great build.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Keith, he's a great builder, man. He blows me out of the water. So it was just fun to build something with him.
Yeah, he's very meticulous. Hey, was he there when you were there at Rubio?
No, he came, I think, the next one after me. Mm. Yeah. I think ours was like the OG one. I think that was the first one they had done.
Yeah, you were there with Jeff Mack, right?
Yeah, Jeff Mack, Phil Morley was there. Yeah. Wee from Alabama Woodworks was there. It was a great group.
It was. Every group that's been there has been fantastic. I've had such a good time. And next year, it's going to be even better. We're going to do some collaboration with Rubio. They're going to do some here, I think.
Oh, sweet.
It's going to be pretty daggone cool. Speaking of Jeff Mack.
Mm-hmm.
I had to watch it again. That bespoke pallet. Did he know you were going to cut up one of his tables?
Yeah, so it's funny. We actually came up with that idea together at that Festool Rubio event.
Oh, my God.
Because we were talking about, like, funny videos, and I was like, you know what would be funny is if you sent me a epoxy table and I cut it into pieces and made a pallet out of it. And he was immediately on board. He was like, yes, absolutely, we're doing that. And then I felt bad because he sent it to me and I got super busy. So it probably sat in my shop for a year before I had time to do anything with it. And then finally I had the time and got it done. So that was fun.
I don't think there was anybody you didn't offend in that video. I was crying the other day watching it. I've forgotten how much I loved it. Oh my God. So did you say your family has a home on the Mackenzie River?
Yeah.
Is that how you got into, because I've watched a couple of your boat builds.
Oh yeah.
You like building boats, huh?
I have built boats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing because I'm from Maine originally. And that's boat building central.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I really haven't watched too many videos on boat building, but I've watched some of yours just to see what you're going to do.
Yeah. Well, the main boat building scene is a little different because they actually know what they're doing. So. Oh, yeah, God. The house on the Mackenzie is definitely what kind of inspired the whole boat building thing. It's right on the river, and so we'd sit on the back deck, and there's a style of boat called a Mackenzie style drift boat.
Right.
And there's a lot of handmade ones down there, and I'd see these guys rowing down the river in these wooden boats, and I was like, man, that is sweet. I want to try and make one, hopefully someday. Yeah. And then it just worked out time-wise. When I did the switch to content, I was looking for projects to do. So I think I started that last November last year.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's interesting because growing up in Maine, when I would fish with my grandfather up in northern Maine, every boat we went out on was a little John boat we fished out of. And my grandfather built them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a rite of passage. Okay. How about this for a question? Who was your biggest influence in woodworking, let's say?
Probably Tim Allen. That was honestly my only introduction to woodworking prior to when I started doing woodworking, was watching Home Improvement as a kid. That and, like, you know, the random Bob Vila episode I'd see on PBS when I was homesick from school. So when I started woodworking, there wasn't a lot of people that I even knew about. But then that's the great thing about Instagram is you get on Instagram and it's such a cool community and you start to meet a lot of people. And then it really took off after that Festool Rubio event because that was the first time I met anybody in person. And then everyone down there was so cool and they were all following all these cool people. And so, man, there's too many to count now. There's so many people on Instagram that do awesome stuff that are just killing it in the woodworking game that it's just pretty cool to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry. I keep looking at my notes and I start chuckling because some of your videos are so out there.
Hey, look at speaking of that Festool Rubio event. See that?
He's got my domino.
I haven't even stacked the table yet. I've been waiting for the right table to embed it in.
Well, what's that old impersonation is the highest form of flattery. When you did that Festool Stage
Instagram, about
you want to know something? I was like, why has he got a beard on? And then I heard you talking. And Jeff Mack immediately sent it to me. He goes, did you see this? And I actually texted him. I go, dude, I am laughing so hard right now. It's like the funniest video.
The funny thing about that is I really wanted to do like an impersonation of you because you're awesome and your personality is just so like big. And my idea for that was to do like, you know, you can make longer dominoes if you don't have the right size. So you can basically domino two dominoes together. But the crazy part was how well it worked.
Yeah, I know. I was like, we used to do that as a demonstration, put one domino into another.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy, the accuracy of it. And that's what we would do at trade shows. But I was just dying laughing. Okay, so I went off on a little bit of tangent, but I got to ask you, how did you come up with stool pants? And let me, and was the UPS guy aware you were doing that? Or was that totally, he just walked in on you?
Yeah. I mean, I legitimately thought stool pants would be a good idea because you could just sit down forever. It turns out it is a little hard to walk, but I just happened to be in the middle of filming the test run of the stool pants when I got a package delivered and he walked in. He didn't know he was being filmed either. And then he didn't find out he was being filmed until I posted the video and one of his coworkers subscribes to my channel. And was like, hey, do you realize you're on this guy's YouTube channel? I probably should have asked permission. He was cool about it, but.
I think the question was, he goes, are those Velcroed or taped? And he went, no, I nailed them. No, I screwed them down. That was the best line.
You don't want your pants, you know, coming off the stool while you're trying to sit down or something. That's dangerous. Shop safety.
Okay, so I got a question for you because you've been doing this for a while. Let's, because a lot of people who are, we have heard through the grapevine are listening to Festool Shop Talk. That are thinking about getting into the trade, like custom furniture building, which you're good at, and custom cabinetry, you know, doing built-ins and stuff like that. What's some advice you could give them if they're considering it?
Do it.
No. That is the right advice if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in my experience, when I was doing custom furniture full time, I got to the point where I was saying no to way more things than I was saying yes to, simply because I just didn't have the time. And I got the feeling there's just not enough people in that field to accommodate everybody that's wanting custom stuff. So I would say there's definitely a market for it. So if you're worried about that, don't be. Definitely do it. People, the question I always get asked, which is the hardest one to answer, is how do you transition if you're doing it part-time and you have another job? How do you transition to doing it full-time?
Oh, right.
And that's just, there's not a great answer. I think the only real answer is you just got to work your tail off until you possibly can't do both anymore and then make the switch. Or if you have a loving wife or husband that's also making an income and you can sacrifice income for a while, then that's another option. But there's just no, I think everybody wants a simple solution of like, oh, I just do these three steps and I'll be making just as much money immediately. And it's, that's the hardest part is the transition or the startup. But once you get there, it's a great career.
Yeah. It's a kind of, as I tell people, if, and I don't need to ask this question for you, but I always ask this with other people I've interviewed. Are you still passionate from the day you started? It's obviously you are, but I coach people. If they they love woodwork and they're passionate about it, I just tell them, follow your passion.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the money will always follow.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think there is something to be said for at the beginning. You kind of have to say yes to everything. That's another thing I tell people. Is when you're first starting out, number one, if you say yes to everything, you're going to get a wide variety of things you have to do. And that's just going to help hone your skills. And it's going to help determine what your passion really is after doing a bunch of different stuff. And so that can kind of be a little bit of a lull at the beginning because you end up doing a lot of odd things that you probably don't love doing, but it's necessary at the beginning, I think. Kind of your woodworking hazing maybe, but definitely do what you like to do. I mean, when you get to that point, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the idea, it's funny because I think I had posted my first YouTube video. It was beginning of last year. And I remember posting it and people were liking it. And I told my wife, I was like, man, it would be awesome if I could just build whatever I wanted. Nobody was like telling me what I had to build. I could build whatever I wanted and film it and just share that process with people. And like, that could be my job. And I remember her laughing and saying like, so you want your job just to be having fun and doing whatever you want. I think that's what everybody wants. But here we are, you know, a little over a year and a half later, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And it's awesome.
And so. I was blown away recently when I was talking to somebody and he told me you had 500,000 subscribers and that wasn't too long ago. And yesterday I looked, you have 625,000 subscribers to YouTube.
I have nothing to say to that, except I just feel extremely humbled and blessed by the whole thing. I really do. I know a lot of people in the community that work probably so much harder than I do trying to make it on YouTube. And it just hasn't quite clicked yet. And so for whatever reason, God must have been smiling on me. I don't know, but I just feel very, very blessed by the whole thing. I really do.
Now, I have met you in person. And someone may say when they see you on one of your videos, because you are such a sketch, I tell everybody he is the same way. When I was at Rubio and you had your beard and I just went over and started vacuuming your beard, everybody started doing that. I was just like, this guy's like the coolest because he is so, and it shows, I'm going to brag about you. You are so daggone, genuine, authentic. Every word that's associated with, because and I know sometimes you must hear that a lot, but people are watching your videos not just because of they want to see what you're gonna do next.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And by the way, please don't ever stop. You just make me laugh. And when I there was a time you did a story. No, you did a post. When you were dancing with somebody else in your shop and the grizzly bear came moonwalking.
Oh, yeah. That was my friend Casey. He's great at moonwalk.
Oh, my God. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching a story and you were in Alaska. And it was obviously you dressed in a grizzly suit.
No, you know who was in the grizzly bear suit that time was my 65-year-old mother. Yeah, because we have a cousin who works in Denali National Park at a lodge there. And so we got to go up and stay as a guest at the lodge, which was awesome. And so, me and my mom went. And I remember packing, and we could only take a small bag because you have to ride this little bus to get back in there. And so it was either bring an extra change of clothes or bring the grizzly bear suit. And of course, I packed a grizzly bear. I was like, man, we could have some fun with this thing wandering around, you know, on the hillsides of Alaska. But I needed to film the content, so I had to have somebody wear it. And she was the only one, so she's a good sport.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was like, what is he up to now? And I think that's what draws people to you, Jason. Okay. So I also know you have some festivals. So what do you think your favorite festival is?
Oh, man. I don't know. I have so much. I would say, I mean, the Domino Joint is hard to beat, right? There's just nothing else like it.
Right.
If you were to say, you know, what one festival thing could you not live without, that would probably be it. Because, I mean, there's other, I could get a different chop saw, I could get different sanders, things like that. There's just not a lot that competes with the Domino Joiner. And it's so stinking easy and quick to use. I mean, that's what we hooked this whole shuffleboard table together with. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty probably cool. That's probably everybody's favorite one.
Everybody asked me that. What's your favorite festival? And I'm supposed to say all of them. Right?
Yours is probably the sustainer boombox.
You want to see it? I have one already.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, the sound coming out of it's phenomenal.
Oh.
It's just not released right now in the States. So, no, my favorite festival is the Traxxaw.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I just got the battery powered one, which I was skeptical about the 55, the new one with the anti kickback. And I got to tell you, man, that thin kerf saw blade is a game changer.
Uh huh.
It cuts so quick and smooth. We had to straight line all these boards for the shuffleboard table because we couldn't really run through the joiner because they're all 12 feet long and it would have been a pain. So we pulled out that battery-powered track saw, and I think we did like 10 or 12 boards straight without having to change the batteries, and it just zipped right through them. So yeah, I'm a believer now.
Yeah, it's. I think it is a game changer, and that's all I reach for right now. And it's funny, if you would have told anybody that we're going to reduce the kerf by 0.4 millimeter, and it would be a game changer, you would think it was ridiculous. I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then I go and use it, and that's my reach for saw. It's a teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was worried about, like, you know, blade deflection and things like that, but it doesn't seem to be a problem at all. So
no.
The one thing I need to do now, though, that I'm using that saw more, is I really need to upgrade my vacuum system to the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything else I have, you just plug in and it automatically turns on. But that's the one annoying thing is since I don't have the Bluetooth, I got to remember to turn on the dust extraction, which I don't usually remember to do until I'm 90% done with the cut, covered in dust.
Join the club.
What is going on here?
Yeah, I know. Same. Even though I wasn't using the Bluetooth battery at one time with it and the remote's right there, I was still not turning on the remote for the Bluetooth. And you're right, about 90% through, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I forgot to turn on the vac.
Yeah, yeah. The other reason I need to get that is I just got one of the Shaper Origins. Have you played around with that thing?
I just got one.
Yeah. And you have to have it on to do all your layout and everything. So when I have it plugged into the vac and I turn it on, it's just running when I don't need it. So I need that Bluetooth that too. So.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Getting up to speed on the Shaper Origin. Quick? Was it quick?
Oh, yeah.
It's,
so I had a CNC that some company, I honestly forget what company it was, sent to me. And I had a friend of mine put it together, and it sat in my shop for almost 2 years, and I never learned how to use it because I didn't want to deal with like getting on the computer and doing this and that, designing and figuring out. The nice thing with the Origin is you can design a lot of stuff right there on the machine.
Yeah.
Or you can design it on a computer, but then click a button and it immediately magically appears on the machine. It's all Wi-Fi connected and super easy to use.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. So I got one and I got a work center and I'm gonna delve into it this winter.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I remember seeing the original one here. They were at a festival connect even before it was released, even before we were part of them. And I got to mess with it quite a bit, and I was blown away. I go, the only thing I got to do is press the green button. And they go, yeah.
Yeah. The one bummer with it, and I think they are trying to work on this issue, is tape that comes with it. I really want to use it to cut out custom shaped pieces of pizza, but the tape won't stick to the toppings. It just keeps coming up with the grease, so it can't read it off of the pizza.
I was going to use it. So that kind of changes my attitude toward it, because I was going to actually redesign my donut shop, and so I could cut holes out of the donuts with it, you know?
Yeah. So there's still some kinks they got to work out, but it's a great. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I got the work center.
Oh yeah. Perfect.
Okay. So you said something earlier. I want to go back to it. You said you're still building whatever you want to build, but your business, it sounds like, is mostly content creation for the videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Huh. So you wake up and you walk out to your shop and you shoot videos.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you know, it's funny because in my mind, I thought as soon as I stopped doing client work, then it was going to be, okay, any idea I have, whatever I want to build, the time is mine. I can do it and film it. It'll be great. But when I stopped doing client work, my wife was like, okay, now you have time to do all the stuff on our house that you've been putting off for years and haven't done. So before I could really get into what I wanted to do, I've really been spending the last year primarily just doing all the stuff in our house that needs to be done. I started remodeling our house 10 years ago and it's still not finished. So a lot of the projects have been house projects up to this point, but it's been good.
Yeah, no, for sure. Everybody knows how to pour concrete countertops now. You did a great job of that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And everybody knows how to put a tank around the riding lawnmower. That was the best. Oh, my God. You're such a great dad. Oh, my God. How did you come up with that idea?
So that really is what launched my whole YouTube channel. It was January, February last year. I think it was last year. I've lost all track of time. It was whenever COVID hit, right at the beginning. I think that was last year. And like many people in the woodworking custom furniture field, pretty much all my clients, I think I was booked out 6 months at the time for custom builds. Pretty much every single client said, hey, we want to hold off on our order for right now. Because nobody knew what was going to happen. Everyone was worried about money.
Right.
Have, you know, enough money. So people just didn't want to spend the money for custom furniture. So for the first time in a long time, I wound up with a ton of free time and I didn't know what to do with it. And so that's when I was kind of like, well, maybe with this free time, I can try the whole YouTube thing. And my son has been riding on the lawnmower with me since he was, you know, 1.5. Anytime I go mow the lawn, he just plops down on my lap. And it used to just put him to sleep every time he'd ride on there with me. But every time we drive it, because it's the 0-degree turn, you know, lawnmower.
Yeah.
He's always like, Dad, this thing's just like a tank. And so he's kind of been saying, like, I wonder if we could make this into a tank. He'd been saying that for a while. So finally, when I had the free time, I was like, well, let's do it.
Oh, my God. So it was Ivor's idea.
It was his idea. He gets all the credit, man.
That's so cool.
But it definitely, it was one of those projects where I was just going to slap some plywood on there and paint it green just to kind of be fun for him, do it in, you know, an afternoon and pull it out and see the big smile on his face. But as soon as I started on it, I just kept like getting more and more into it. And then it got kind of out of control. And then I had the idea to make actual working tracks for it and add a real gun that shoots potatoes and light.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of snowballed. I ended up spending, I think, a little over $2,000 outfitting my riding lawnmower.
Oh my God. But man, I go, he's doing what now?
Yeah, that was a ton of fun. See, that's the kind of stuff I would love to do more projects like that. Once I get my house all squared away, I'd love to just have a crazy idea and see if it works. And if it doesn't, so what? That's just part of the video.
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes when you see somebody I mean, that's why I like doing live, because people see, hey, I'm human. I make mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm having fun while I do it. And then when you did the drawer pullout and everything fell, I've done that.
Yeah, that was not scripted.
I know. And I think so many people have done that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, he's just leaving it there. I think I've talked to quite a few people who are out there doing YouTube and Instagram and all of it, and with social media. And they say, just when it's about the mistakes, it's about,
yeah.
Don't hide them. Don't make it perfect.
No, absolutely not. I mean, my whole thing is I want to have fun with my channel, but more than anything, I really want to show people how reachable woodworking really is and how anybody can get into it. And so I look at it in the way of, if I hide all my mistakes and make everything picture perfect, well, that's not doing any favors to anybody. That's just going to be discouraging, and people are going to think I can never get to this level. So if I really show people how terrible I actually am at woodworking, then they're going to be like, oh, well, I can do better than this guy, right?
And that's the beauty of it. We need to get more people involved
in
woodworking.
Definitely. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Hey, right now, what you're doing, what are your biggest struggles? Do you have any struggles or in your business?
No, I'm pretty much perfect.
Yeah, I figured you were going to say something like that.
No, I mean, I struggle like anybody else. I mean, content's just a completely different game. When I was doing custom furniture, the main struggle was just making sure I constantly had more clients coming in and more work lined up. Yeah. Now it's a little bit different. I'm working with a lot of sponsors now, so that's my main source of income. So just constantly making sure that I have sponsors lined up to pay the bills and making sure I have good ideas to get videos out. And then just making sure that I'm staying on top of actually getting videos out. I feel like it'd be really easy to just get super focused on one project and only put out a video every couple months. But if you're doing content, it's not going to make a lot of money. So just kind of regularly putting stuff out it's a struggle, but it's a fun one.
Yeah. How'd you come up with the name Bourbon Ma?
Yeah. So it was late one. I was out in the shop sanding. I was tired. I was drinking a glass of bourbon, trying to come up with a business name kind of in the back of my mind. And this little moth fluttered across my shop, and it just alighted on the edge of the glass of bourbon. And he teetered for a second and he fell in. And then I was going to help him, but he climbed back out, and I thought, okay, he's good. And then he immediately, on purpose this time, dove back in and drank the rest of my
And then it was born, right?
No, that's not true at all. I was trying to come up with a business name, and everything was taken. When really, I was trying to find a website address that wasn't taken. Jason's Woodshop was taken. There's even another Jason Hibbs Woodworking somewhere out there in the world. I mean, everything was taken. So finally, out of frustration, I was like, I'm just going to pick something so random that nobody's going to have it. And I picked Bourbon Moth. I don't know why. I like bourbon. Moths look cool. It has no meaning whatsoever. Everyone always asks me that. It's probably a horribly dumb name. And I don't know if I kept it knowing, you know, where the business would be now, but it is what it is. And it's kind of me now. Whatever.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Cool. So where's the future going to take you? Do you know?
I have no clue. I'm taking this one day at a time. That's the thing is, I mentioned I feel just super humbled and blessed by the whole YouTube thing. But at the same time, I have no delusions that YouTube and content creation, it's a very new profession. It hasn't been around a long time. And so there's really no telling what the longevity of that is or how long it's going to last. So I'm just trying to enjoy this as long as I can. And worst case scenario, I have to go back to making custom furniture. Well, I love doing that. So, I mean, what's the harm in that? That can't be too bad either.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, it's a great living if you like woodworking and you just dig. I think sometimes it's the chase. It's the chase for jobs and chase for money. But if I didn't have all of that and it was constantly coming in, it's just, I love being in the shop. And it sounds like you do too.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So I've taken up a lot of your time. I always kind of not end this, but I always want to make sure. Is there a question I should have asked you?
No.
Be careful.
I'm reminding myself in my head that this is live right now.
Yes.
Anything I say can and will be used against me.
and it's a family channel.
Yep. No, I think you pretty much nailed it, man. I appreciate you so much. I mean, everybody should know Sedge is the real deal as well. You're just one of the most fun people I know. So don't
thank you,
buddy.
I retired 14 and a half years ago when I came to work for this company. And yeah. I wake up every day and I'm still passionate as the day I started. I love it here. My boss is here. By the way, my bosses loved your TSC 55 video when you did the kickback. I was dying. My bosses loved it. From my bosses here to my bosses over in Germany, and they're not really bosses, they're family. It's just, they let me do what I like to do here. And it's an easy gig. I love it.
So, I see a new YouTube series in the future. Jason and Sedge take on Germany.
Oh, dude, let's do it.
Yeah. Wouldn't we have a good time? We'd have a good time, man.
Oh, for sure. You know what? I need a character like you out there, and I know my personality. I always look at that person and say, you know, we would have never gotten through high school.
No. We go to Germany. We're definitely not getting invited back. That's for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah. I'll take you there. Okay. We'll have fun.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to say thank you very much for your time, Jason.
Oh, absolutely.
We really appreciate it. Could you do me a favor? Just keep being you. You're an original dude. You make all of us here at Festool just laugh and smile. And that's just Festool. I know you do it to so many people out there. Keep it up, please.
Well, thanks.
You're a hoot.
Right?
You're a hoot. Cool. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Another Festool Shop Talk. Yeah,
right.
Baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.